This is Rumblestrip, good conversation that takes its time.
Carl?
I met Carl Blaisdell back in 2018 while I was working on a story for Brave Little State about what it's like to live in the Northeast Kingdom. I was at Kaplan's Army Store in St. Johnsbury, where I used to buy all my socks, and which sadly now is closed. And I asked them who they thought I should talk with, and the collective response was, Carl. I asked how to find him, and they said, go about 7 miles down this road, and then there's a road that kind of goes up to a Jersey farm on the left, and then there's a pond, but there's no sign to the pond. So after the pond, drive past the pull-off, and Carl's trailer sits way up in a field at the top of that hill. There's a lot of pipes, and a lot of cars and trucks, and lots of hounds. But Carl wasn't home, so I went back the next day, and I found him in his driveway, but he didn't want to talk in the house, so we sat in his truck and talked. Carl's trailer looks out over the farm he ran for most of his life, then sold. After farming, Carl seemed to make a smooth transition to Mountain Man, which is how he described himself, and the name fits. He is private. He only goes to town to get something he needs. His life is close to the ground and to his dogs and to the outside. Here's Carl.
You grew up on a farm.
Right.
You bought that over there.
Yeah.
You farmed it.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful farm.
It's all right, but it's not big enough, and it's the seasons are a little too short, and the taxes are just as high, and the driveway was so steep and stuff, you couldn't get a whole tractor, a whole load of hay. It would pain in the ass to get up the driveway. And you'd have to hitch on another tractor on the front or something. And if a truck didn't bother, but and then you get a poor year here, and it was some years it was hard. It cost $10,000 to live here.
Yeah.
And so it's nothing fantastic about it. It's just I'm here, so I'm too goddamned old to leave. But it ain't very shiny. I rented a lot of land down there. When you see them openings over there, and I had that for 30 years, and I should have bought it, but I got into a divorce about the end of the lease time, and it just didn't work.
So you live now across the road from that farm. What's it like to see it?
Well, it gets to the point when you get old, man, you get to where you can't do the work anymore, so it's a pain. You don't want it. You can't have it, and you can't handle it. And I like to do other things, so if I get up this morning and want to go do something, I go do it. I don't have to be tied down to the goddamn farm all day. If something broke down or something to... See, the worst trouble is, if you get done chores tonight, 8, 9 o'clock, I had a wife and kids. My wife was a good woman, really. But I didn't really tend to her life like I ought to, because if I got done chores tonight at 9 o'clock, another old fellow lived up here. He was always a big hunter. He might come down while I was still milking cows, and he might want to go coon hunting. We might go coon hunting till morning. We might pull back home at 6 o'clock, and we might go 15 nights. I know I've been 12 and 15 nights in a row. And you know, you look back over the years, and that ain't really the nicest thing. A woman sometimes don't really live that life very happy sometimes, and you're maybe half tired, and maybe you're a little bit stupid because you're so goddamn tired, but you just go again tomorrow night, and then you kind of overlook the rest of the life, because 90% of the guys have been divorced that live that life.
What makes you go out 15 nights in a row? What do you want?
Well, the dogs are doing really well. And you got some young dogs that are really doing well, and so you just want to see them do it again and again and again. It's just like having a girlfriend and you're hot on her. You will go see her every night. But it gets in your blood, and there ain't a goddamn thing you can do about it. And so I'm just that way.
Did you find that you know, through your when you were farming and married and everything, over time did the lust for hunting, did it grow over time, or has it always been there?
Oh, been there. It was always there. It was there when I was 12. It was there when I was a kid.
Was farming a distraction from what you really wanted?
My life.
Yeah, but I mean, did you not want to farm?
I always put everything into it.
Oh, you did. You did.
Oh, yeah. We had better than average cows. I was going to update. I didn't want to dub around with something that was half-assed. I wanted it to be... It better work, or I was going to find something that was. You overwork. Everything you do, you're overboard.
You're an overworker.
I would be. But I can't. I wore my heart out. They told me I would, because I had a heart attack. And then I put in some stents, and then I have a regular heartbeat. And I ain't been good. I ain't done what I want to do. My elevator don't go up. Don't even get up to the first floor some days. So how the hell are you going to go up? You can't. That's the life we got.
What was one hunt that you will never forget?
Not any of them are extra special. You start doing it when you're 10 years old or 12. You know what's on the other side. You know all the dips and all the brooks and all the areas. You just know it like the back of your hand, see? And so you know if you go this way, well, the road was over the mountain. You know that way there, you're going to hit the road right there. You're going that way, you're going to hit the road, but you're going to go further. There isn't any reason to know it, but if you end up there, you know your way out. You know your way back to civilization. You ain't going around in circles or hell. I can remember when we was kids, we'd go like from here to that mountain. And on the other side of that hill, say, there was a big open pasture and brooks and a big old kelp pasture and apple trees. And hell, we'd go over there and wait and watch for deer. And deer would come out there like 15, 20 some nights. And when it got black, we'd run home, right out to the woods, because we knew where we were going. We'd head right home on the run. My brother was younger than me, but we'd get right home. We'd be home in 10 minutes, you know. But you're always going to be a different person than the rest of the world.
You mean if you're like you?
Yeah.
And why? What makes you different? What's different about that?
I don't know. You just aren't when you go to town or something, you go and get what you want and you leave. You don't just hang around we call it nonsense, you know. See, people don't understand the way we are. And there's people around that are kind of like me. And I know of some. And we all are different breed of cats. And we can't do anything about it the way we are.
Do you feel lonely in the world like it is now?
Oh, no.
No.
Well, when you farmed a lot, you knew other farmers and you still know them. They're different from the people, the average people. And a lot of the people are okay. But of course, you don't have any real bonds to them, you know, like you do. But the worst trouble is, I don't care if they go skiing. I don't care if they go snowmobiling. I don't care if they drive a car. I don't care if they drink beer. I don't care what they do. But it seems like our world today, they don't like what we do. That say we go hunting today, and they really don't like what we're doing, and I call them pain in the asses, and we got a lot of them out there today, but all those animals, and when they get real thick, they will have more diseases like peptide distempers and rabies and like that, and people don't realize, you know, so thin them out, what difference it makes.
Can you talk about your dogs at all? Yeah. Are they all different for you, or are they all the same? Do you think about them differently?
Oh, definitely. There's good ones and there's dogs.
So what a good dog, how long does it take to know if you've got
really
a good dog?
Really, by the time you're old.
Really? And then what are the signs?
Desire is 50%. And then the nose ability.
What is desire in a dog? How do you know desire in a dog?
Oh, you can tell. They just get it. Well, like say, all right, there's a bear down here, and they're raspberries. I got raspberries planted here, but don't matter. They're wild in the woods. All right, there's raspberries and cherries and apples and corn here. All right, the bears are in the in the feed. They come there tonight and they eat the feed. Well, all right, today you're gonna go dubbing around. So you take a couple of pretty good dogs, you take them out there, and as soon as you find a track, you take one of them out and fool around with him a little, and if he shows good interest, you put him, let him go first on the trot and put an old dog on, and then you see if he, when they go over the mountain, they see if he goes along, and if he, you know, he kind of tends the scent. He barks on the track some. He's tracky. Well, all right. Next time you take him, he may get better. He may be rigging.
What I'm trying to understand is that I've interviewed trappers before, but mostly deer hunters. And what you're talking about, the way that you love hunting, is slightly different from both of those categories.
Yeah, well, the trappers are... The trappers, I understand, they trap for the fur, and they want it. Like, we don't, but if we got a sow bear over here, and she's got two cubs, they get treated, we just get the dogs and get the hell out of there. We don't mess around with them at all. But, you know, of course, the trappers, of course, their animals are a lot. More of like a skunk, a coon will get in your house, or a coon will get in everything there is around.
Do you eat most of what you kill?
I don't mind bear meat. The bears lives up here, over there or somewhere. And you know, they've been living in a corn piece or orchards or something. I don't like them. Want them downtown bear. Those downtown bear rips the dumpsters open and get into Pampers and all other crap. I ain't going to eat the friggin' meat. I'm sorry, but I don't want any.
What role has money played in your life? I mean, what's money?
What is money? Now money's worthless. Like, you've got to realize your health is everything. When you get to the point where you can't do the things that you really want to do, $10 in good health is better than $1,000 in poor health. Because you can go do something that you want, anything. I don't give a goddamn. But when you get to be this other way, you don't matter. You see, life don't matter when you're at the end. It don't buy anything. But
so, did you spend a lot of time thinking about money in your life?
Oh no, I throw it away money. I probably spent $150,000 hunting because I knew the end was coming. When you get to be 60 some years old, you know that the end of your life is coming. And if you got something you want to do, you sure as hell better be doing it, because you ain't going to be 16 again. I don't give a goddamn what you do. I never see anybody go the other way in my lifetime. So if you get to be 60 and you've got some things that you kind of want to do and you're healthy and you got a little money and it don't make a goddamn bit of difference, your life is coming to the end. And everybody, it does to everybody. It ain't just you. But you always want more. I don't care what there is. You always want more. You don't want just a piece of the cake. You want the whole cake. Yeah, and that's the way life is. But anyway, I should go do something. Get some stuff I got to get done.
That was Carl Blaisdell back in 2018. I got his son Brian on the phone recently and asked him how his dad was, and he said he's fine, except he needs a new clutch in his truck. This week, Carl turns 84. Music for this show is by Emily Cupers. Rumblestrip is an independent podcast distributed on the radio by Vermont Public. If you want to reach me, just email me at rumblestripvermont, all spelled out, @gmail.com. This is Rumblestrip. I'm Erica Heilman. Thanks a lot for listening.